Luke Lewis, Michael Carayannis, I'm Andrew Moore here at Western Sydney Stadium. Last night we called Melbourne's 22-8 win over South Sydney, and it's always nice to have their coach on the line, Craig Bellamy. He joins us now. Craig, thanks for joining us. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Andrew. How are you?
Mate, really well. We enjoyed calling that game last night. Really tough first half. South made a lot of errors. You guys, in fairness, made a few as well, but I guess the pleasing part is they showed some resilience and got their game together enough to put them away at the end of that match.
Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating at you know, some stages there. It was a pretty it was a frosty old night, actually. It was very still, yeah. And so the ball was a little bit slippery, but we seemed to complete a bit better than South, and I think that was probably the difference in the end. But the thing I was more happy with than anything else, after last week, was I just thought some of our effort areas in defence were much better than last week. So, we sort of, I suppose, wore them down at the end and got a few points at the end. So, that was pleasing.
This chat could go any which way, but you mentioned completions and you guys completed more than South in the end. It's going to be an important aspect with the way the game is played, with so few, a lot less stoppages at the moment. And equally, a few of your players, Craig, spoke through the week after the loss to Canberra that we can't necessarily be as structured a team as we've been in the past. And Cam Munster mentioned to us after the game last night. So it's kind of a fine line, isn't it, to not necessarily have the same sort of structures, mix up your game a bit. Yet, if you're dropping the ball, trying something too expansive, you're really up against the wall.
Yeah, it's a bit of a catch-22. Obviously, I don't think it really matters what the rules are or what changes. If you complete fairly highly, you're going to be competitive in the game. So I think that was our major issue, more so than what the rule changes were and whatever. So, those rule changes and the interpretations, probably some teams a little bit further away from that being beneficial to them. So those teams have got to work a little bit harder on trying to adapt to those rules and try and take advantage of them with the way they play. So we've certainly tried to do that since we've been back, and since we know what the rules are now, or the rules have changed. So I think Cameron's right. We're trying to be a little bit more unstructured, but that's probably not easy for us because we've been a fairly structured side for a long time. So, but I think that's, with some of the new players that have come into our side and into our squad, these new rules, will suit some of the style of our new players. So, hopefully, I'll be proven right a little bit later in the year.
Yeah, Billy Ake, congratulations on the game last night. So well done on that. But the new rules, do you think we'll see bigger score lines consistently over the year?
Yeah, it's interesting, Luke. We've only had 1.5 rounds, I suppose, or not even that yet. Sometimes you think this, and then sometimes you think that. I think the thing that I realised there with the game on Thursday night was, everyone's thinking, that six again, you get a six again call, and then you've got to defend, and it's really hard to defend, especially if you get a couple in a row, or you get, a six again, then you get the ball back, and then you get another six again against you, it's really hard defending. But I think even more so than that, I think it's after you do defend those couple of sets, or the 1.5 sets or whatever, then it's, if you're on your line, then it's really hard to get out because you are fatigued from, the tackling. So I think that's an area where, teams, will struggle a little bit by just, being on their try line in their own area for longer periods of time. So with the blowouts, obviously, the first two games of this round, it was 59-0 and a 26-0. So, I think there are going to be some blowouts, and it's going to be hard to stop some of them blowouts, I would imagine, especially with, if a team gets way more ball than the other team. So, like I say, it's still fairly early, and I'm sure there'll be a few more things come up over the next, four or five rounds, but I think it'll take four, five, six rounds before it really settles down and everyone's really clear on what door means.
We've had a lot of people write in on text messages asking about attitude adjustments. How do you get your players up week in, week out? Like, I know it might be a hard way to answer it, but we'll get their attitude right, because every time Melbourne seem to take the field, they always seem that, you know, the space between their two ears there is always spot on.
I wouldn't go that far. Luke. But, mate, again, I think it's, you know, it's really important, you know, for me, you know, when I watch a game of footy, you know, for our team, and I know the guys personally and, you know, work with them all week or whatever, but, you know, there's just a couple of their actions where you can tell their attitude's not quite where it should be or where we need it to be. But at the end of the day, you really can't help somebody if they don't want to help themselves. So at the end of the day, the motivation or factor, I suppose, or having that right attitude, you know, it really comes to the play. We can help them and provide them with why, you know, they should have an attitude, and this is what we see from you when you have, and this is what we see from you when we don't. But at the end of the day, you know, it's their responsibility to make sure, you know, on the weekend, that they're ready to do their job for the team and for their teammates.
Craig, obviously news about Jerome Hughes is going to miss a couple of weeks with a broken hand. Who do you slot into that half spot now?
Yeah, well, we've got to make a bit of a decision there. Obviously, you know, we could put Cameron back there and you know, start with Brandon, or, you know, we could go with Riley Jackson, and, you know, he's playing in first grade. So, you know, he's probably be the favourite there at the moment. But we've got Cooper Johns, who's, you know, a young guy coming through our grades as well, and he hasn't played any first grade yet, so not quite sure that this is the right time to be doing that. But, yeah, we'll have a bit of a chat during the week with the players and obviously the coaching staff. And but one of those options will be the way that we'll go.
Could you see Cameron playing there? You mentioned him, so you're considering it. Do you feel like he could play the number seven role?
Oh, I think he could, yeah. We would play in there for the whole game. But whether, you know, we'd start with, if we did go, you know, that way, whether we started with it or whether we, done it a bit later in the game, you know, I'm not quite sure. But, I've always been, you know, that's been mentioned before by other people too, you know. But, you know, I've always been hesitant, you know, to move him from dummy half, where, you know, he's, for a long time, he's been the best dummy half running around. So, you know, the old saying about you don't want to sort of weaken one position to strengthen another. But like I say, we'll just do what we think's best for the team and what, the players are most comfortable with, and hopefully it'll work out okay.
What about a guy like Chris Lewis, mate? Obviously exciting. That must be exciting for you still to hand a guy that's waited so long for a debut. What was it like when you told him that he was going to play his first grade game?
Yeah, it's the whole club got a thrill out of, you know, what happened with Louis, and for me, you know, really special. You know, like for a 27-year-old, that's probably, well, no, to his credit, he didn't give up on, you know, trying to be an NRL player, and he obviously has worked really hard and been very persistent. So, yeah, it's just, you know, just gives you a good feeling, you know, when I rang him up on Wednesday night and said, "Hey, listen, mate, you're going to get a game this week." Unfortunately, the way the game went last night, you know, he didn't get much time, but, it was great to see him go on there. He was very excited, and the players were all, you know, very excited for him. So, it's always nice to see someone, you know, make their first grade debut, but when, you know, someone's been through something like he has, you know, that takes so long to do it. I think he's had a couple of knee reconstructions and a couple of shoulder reconstructions. So he's gone the tough road and been very, determined, very dogged. And, it's great to see him get a reward. And we're all, you know, really happy for him last night.
I think we all appreciate that during the 80 minutes of a game, you're in Craig Bellamy's space there. But if you noticed his smile as he was about to come on, that was one of the great... the most heartwarming moments that you get in rugby league. I mean, there's plenty of heartbreak in the game and careers ending way too soon. And then you see a player who stayed at it. And I think I'm right in saying his mum and dad were the official bull retrievers last night. They're from a town of 635 people. You can't get many better stories than that.
No, it's a great story. And, you know, he has, besides, you know, being very, you know, stubborn, dogged, whatever, you know, to try and, you know, play NRL, you know, this year he basically, you know, give up a school teaching job, you know, to go into the full-time squad. So, you know, that's, he's given up a whole heap there. And I couldn't imagine what he must have felt or the way he was feeling when, you know, the competition got stopped and, you know, the COVID-19 thing come in, and then all of a sudden, you know, there wasn't going to be any more Queensland Cup and whatever. So you must have thought, you know, this is I'm going to be 28, 29 if I do make the, you know. But, you know, to his credit, he kept training hard, and, you know, he's impressed a lot of people down here. And so hopefully he'll get a few more games as the season goes on.
You're listening to our special guest, Melbourne coach Craig Bellamy on ABC Rugby League. And it begs the question, Craig, when you're talking about, you know, possible replacements for Jerome Hughes and you throw out names like Riley Jackson, Cooper Johns, the longer this NRL season goes on, the longer players who aren't in the first grade squad at this time of year don't play any footy. How do you go about addressing that? Because at some point, obviously, you're going to need some of these guys and they're not going to have any footy time under their belt.
Yeah, it's real tough. And I know, you know, I think there's been a little bit of, you know, real push from some people in our game this week, you know, to really try and get some footy for those guys. Even if they're playing, you know, a nines game against, you know, another club or whatever, you know, we tried to get a couple of games against, you know, the Raiders, you know, leftover players, but because of the biosecurity rules, we couldn't do it. But I think it's really, I think I said during the week, it's really important for the footy clubs in that, you know, the longer the season goes and, you know, coaches are going to be very hesitant on picking guys that haven't played for 8 weeks, you know, and expect them to go out and do a good job. So, you know, as I said, the longer the season goes on, you know, that's going to be the mentality. But I think the main reason we need to get them playing again is for their mental well-being, to be quite honest. You know, we expect them to turn up each and every training session and train well and prepare well and look after your diet and do your weights and then go home and isolate where, you know, they can't really see anyone, but they're not playing any footy, so, and they're not really given the chance to impress the coaches into putting them into the NRL team, you know. So I think it's really important that we, you know, and I think it's got to be really urgent that we start getting some footy for these guys somehow, some way. You know, not only for the good of the footy in the clubs, but also for the individual's mental well-being.
Yeah, actually, shortly I'm going to be speaking to Dave Trodden from the New South Wales Rugby League about what's going on in that area, and junior footy and all that sort of thing, but senior footy, what plans there are, and country footy and all of that sort of thing, and we'll do the same with the QRL next week. Question about coaches and their vulnerability, Craig, and you've, you know, had a very successful career, but it hasn't always been roses. You've gone through periods of time, obviously, with the salary cap thing where you're under enormous pressure and getting heavily criticised all over the place. And we spent the first hour, by and large, talking about Paul McGregor and Dean Pay and Anthony Seibold at the Brisbane Broncos. Coaches who are under not only enormous external pressure, but possibly internal pressure as well, depending on what you believe. Yeah. Someone in your position, Craig, and some of the senior coaches, and you don't have to be specific about the ones I just mentioned if you don't want to be, do you reach out to them? Do you talk to them when they're in, you know, clearly getting a hammering in the media, or their results are going against them and their position seems to be in doubt? As someone who's seen all sides of the spectrum, is that a situation where you might reach out to another coach?
If I knew them really well, I'd, you know, certainly ring up and have a chat to them. But, you know, obviously they'd be, you know, getting some hopefully, you know, some help and advice from people that they know well and people that they trust, you know. So it is, it can be a lonely, I suppose, existence, you know, when that's happening. Certainly, you know, the thing that's most vivid for me, you know, in my experience was certainly the salary cap year in 2010 where, you know, we were battered from pillar to post. And, you know, as individuals, we were the same, you know. We were like a bunch of lepers, to be quite honest. And it can be very, extremely difficult because, you know, when, with all due respect, when the media get old or something, they usually hang up onto it for a little while, you know. And I suppose, you know, probably another thing now, I'm too old for it, but social media, you know, apparently that can be quite heavy as well. So, but like I say, it is tough. And I think, you know, hopefully, I think we're all aware of young players' needs and young players, you know, mental well-being, but you know, sometimes coaches need a little bit of help there as well. And you know, like I say, you always feel for those coaches, being under the pump. But at the end of the day, I suppose that's what we sign up for. You know, you always know it's going to be, at some stage you're going to get criticised and you're going to come under the pump. I think, and just a little thing for me, this is just a personal thing. The thing that I hate about, you know, when anyone in our game comes under the pump, whether it be players or coaches, is how it affects families, you know. And that was a real hard thing for me, you know, during the salary cap year with, what some members of my family copped as well, which is not fair. You know, at the end of the day, as I said, as, you know, members of the rugby league family, you know, we do sign up, to do our jobs, and sometimes we're going to get criticised, and you know, that's probably fair enough, at a certain level. But when family members, when they start copping abuse, I think that's where it goes over the top. But like I say, it's there's not a whole heap you can do about it. You know, the thing I found is just let the white noise go and just concentrate on doing my job the best I can, and then whatever happens from there, we'll say be it. But you know, whatever happens, you want to be proud of what you've done, with your job, and you don't want to let your players down. So for me, that was the most important thing.
Craig, throwing forward to next week's game, you play Newcastle, who are coached obviously by a close friend of yours, Adam O'Brien. First time you guys will come head-to-head as NRL head coaches. What will that be like? And talk us through some of your relationship, I guess, with Adam and the advice that you gave him as he took on the Newcastle job.
Oh, no, he's a tremendous guy, Adam. You know, he's a really good fella, and, you know, he's a really good coach. Very, very, dedicated. He certainly don't take any shortcuts. It's... he puts in the time, he puts in the effort. He had a very, very long apprenticeship. I think he started at our club as a, assistant coach to the under-20s and worked his way through, you know. So I think he was here for about, 10 or 12 years. Then he had a year at the Roosters, and now he's, at the Knights. So he's done his time, and, he's a very, very good coach. And I think he's seen a little bit of that, I suppose his personality rub off on the Newcastle side there last week. You know, they were very gritty under some difficult circumstances last week when they had a few injuries early in the game. But, I did have a couple of people, when Nathan Brown decided that Nathan wasn't there last year, and a couple of people from Newcastle actually rang me up because, I had worked with Adam, I thought he'd be ideal for not only the Newcastle club, but for any club. And I think he's going to have a really long career. He's going to have a really good career as well. And he's one of those guys that he can be a bit cranky. He's a little bit gnarly like myself at times, but he always gets on really well with people. So, I think he'll have a really long and successful career, and he's got off to a good start at Newcastle.
Did he learn that from you, or was that just something you respected in him?
No, I think it came naturally to him as well, actually.
Right, that's really... Just finally, you've been generous with your time. I think we've had you on the line for about 20 minutes. But tomorrow, I'm remembering the day when Canberra played its first ever game in 1982, February 27 against South. So I know you weren't in that team, but I'm going to catch up with your old teammate, Jerry De La Cruz, who I remember playing. He only played four first grade games because you made your first grade debut. Was it round two or three? It wasn't long after that, was it?
No, I was a little bit old. I had a stress fracture in the shins. I think I missed probably a month, and then I played about two or three reserve grade games. My debut was, I remember very clearly, it was against Parramatta at Belmore, and we got beat 54-3. So it took me a little while to get over that. But Jerry,
that might have been the game before Canberra's first ever win, actually.
Yeah, it was only about one or two games before. Yeah, against Newtown. Down there we beat them 11-10, I think it was. But, Jerry was the first ever halfback for the Raiders, you know, and terrific. He was a really good player, really, you know, like quick and strong with the footy. And but he had a few injuries, so that sort of curtailed his career a bit. But he's a tremendous bloke. I ran into there last year there, and... he's still going really well, and but he's a really good guy, and I think he was originally from Darwin. I think that's where the Raiders. Oh, actually, he played with the Queensland Blues before the Raiders, but I think that's where Don Turner actually picked him up from Darwin. I think it was. But
he's got some great stories to tell about the contract he signed and the Mondays where you got, or the training sessions where I can't remember what he calls it now. We got thrown into ice cold water and had to get up and have the mad hour of training. And also, he's going to tell us about how he realised the significance of him becoming the first try scorer in Canberra's history when he was playing a game of Trivial Pursuit 20 years later. And he was the answer to the question. Fantastic. Craig Bellamy, really good to have you on board. Hopefully we can catch you again through the season. Good luck for the remainder and well done last night.
Thanks, guys. And say good day to Jerry for us.